chamber, as we're doing it virtually, which is a bit of a kickback to previous times, but hopefully it'll all go well, so please bear with me during the meeting. Please ensure your mobile phones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would recommend members remind members of their obligations under the Councillors' Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the meeting today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the virtual arena for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in any vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. And due to the exceptional circumstances, we'll be using the chat facility today so that everyone can communicate, and that involves a Q for a question, a C for a comment, a P for a proposal, and an S for a seconder. So please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Okay, members, we have apologies from Councillor Brennan, and I take it there are there any others, Sarah?
There's an apology from Catherine O'Hagan, but I think Suzanne's here in Catherine's place. And then we've got apologies from Conor Mallon and Sinead Murphy as well.
Thank you. Members, I take it there's no declarations of interest at this juncture, so we'll move on. And that takes us to the action sheet of the meeting of the 7th of May. And we go through that action sheet first, page by page, and for accuracy. So we'll start with page 1, page 2. I think there's going to be an update in relation to that, Sarah can keep me right. There'll be an addition about a request that was made, and that will be added to the action point.
Yeah, so it's added on to decision time. It's under AH 030/2026. The corporate register is just about a report to be brought to a future audit on the timeline of responses to media inquiries.
Thank you, Sarah. So page 3. Page 4. Okay, I don't see any questions coming through there. So we can take a proposer and seconder for accuracy, and then including in that a proposer and a seconder for approval, please. Thank you, members. Okay, if you could just enter those into the chat box, that'd be great. Proposed by Councillor O'Hare. Thank you, Siobhan. And seconded by Councillor King. Thank you, Cal. Okay, members, that takes me to item number 4, which is the Audit Committee Annual Report, which I write as Chair. And hopefully it reflects all the work that we've been doing over the year 25-26. I'll just touch on a couple of issues, not dwell on anything in any detail. Point 3, the performance evaluation. It's good to note that after the self-assurance that was carried out on the committee, that it is deemed that the committee is operating effectively, or was operating effectively for 2025-26. There are a number of recommendations. I'm not going to go through all of them, but one of them is training. And as we know, that's going to be hopefully put in place next March, April, for members in relation to the Audit Committee. Also, we were looking for a report on cyber and digital risks, along with an update on assessment of climate change within the Council. And I'm happy to say we're getting a presentation on one, the cyber and digital risks today, and we have a report on the climate change, so thank you to the officers for that work. Also, we were looking for feedback from key stakeholders in order to enhance the work that we do, and in light of that and a couple of other matters, Christine from Summer and I met in March, and we had a good discussion, which was very helpful and good feedback. And as you can see, the specific responsibilities under the Global Internal Audit Standard were also covered. And item 3.2 in that report, there's an annual performance review of my chairmanship. and that was carried out by the chief executive with Councillor Byrne and Councillor Hannan, and I'm advised that they are satisfied that there's an appropriate standard being applied for the meeting. So that's good to know. Thank you. And then we have had an unqualified financial statements report for the 24-25 accounts, which is really good. And also from Summer NI, we got a satisfactory assurance for internal audit assurance opinion. And that's very much welcomed and is good progress from last year. And that just remains for me to say thank you to all of you as members and to Orgage and every one of the officers, because there's a lot of work by everyone going on in the background, for supporting me in my role and making the audit committee effective in what it's doing. And specifically to wish Josephine and George all the very best in their future careers, because they've now departed from the council. Okay, members, I'm happy to take any questions you may have. And if there aren't any questions on that, members, if we could have a proposer and seconder to approve the report.
Councillor Bowsey has a question.
Councillor Bowsey.
Just to also mark the work that Josephine and Jared have put in, just a question. Do we have an official start date for the new director yet?
Yes, Councillor Bowsey, we did send an update, thank God. So she's due to start now on the 10th of August, so a week Monday.
Thank you.
A question from Councillor Murphy.
No, it's a proposal.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Councillor Murphy. No, thank
just,
you.
Just a proposal.
Thank you. And a seconder then, if I could, please. Thank you.
There's a comment then from Councillor Hanlon.
Thank you. Councillor Hanlon.
Sorry, I was on mute there. It's just a comment really around the sequencing of the staff moving on and staff coming into post. It's just my own observation. It is maybe a bit of a risk to council that, obviously personnel have moved on, but there wouldn't have been handover for new ones coming into post. So I'm just wondering, could that have been maybe avoided, or the timelines maybe aligned a wee bit better?
Yeah, Chair, happy to come in on that. Unfortunately, just the way timing goes with recruitment, Councillor Hanlon, and you know yourself, the duration of time it takes, you can't nearly get the overlap. But in relation to handover, I don't have any concerns in the sense that Jared has provided a very detailed handover note, and I have been through that with him, and we'll pass the detail on to the new temporary ID starting next Monday. But I've already met with her, and Jared has met with her as well, and we've been through all the detail for it, so no issues in that sense. And then Josephine has also very kindly agreed to meet with our new Director of Corporate Services along with me to provide any kind of updates that we need as well. And I've already been doing handover stuff with her as well. So, yeah, we've kind of got well covered. We've good staff and good people who are prepared to work with us to ensure that we have appropriate handover, so don't have any concerns.
Okay.
Okay, that's reassuring. Thank you.
Thank you, Marie. Thank you, Councillor Hannan. If there are no further questions, maybe I could get a seconder for that. Please. Councillor Bowsey, is that a seconder? Yes. Thank you. Okay, members. That takes us to item number 5, which is the Performance Improvement Plan 26-27. I believe Catherine is going to take that if we have Catherine with us.
Sorry, Chair, just to say it was Councillor Devlin was in second and first.
Oh, beg your pardon. Okay. A little bit askew. Okay, thank you, Councillor Devlin. Apologies, Councillor Bowsey. Thank you, Sarah. Okay, would Catherine be with us today to take that report? Can you see, sir?
Payments, Brona.
Oh, I thought, sorry, Marie, maybe.
Not yourself, Catherine, no, you're okay. I take the report instead. Brona, if that's okay. So, just in relation to the performance improvement plan, then this is a matter that has been through the relevant council structures and for consultation, etc. We have presented it through our SPNR committee as well. We've set our performance improvement objectives for 26-27. We, as I said, have had our public consultation and we're now moving as well, just for information, to do a further resident survey later this year, just as we move into the next corporate planning process. So the performance improvement plan is there for members, and I'm going to take it that you have read it. and it includes five key performance improvement objectives and the consultation and engagement report that happened in 26-27. So happy to take any questions.
Okay, thank you, Marie. Members don't appear to have any questions. Okay, members, if I could get a proposer and seconder to note that report, that'd be great. We have a proposer from Councillor Byrne, and can we take Siobhan or Councillor O'Hare as a seconder? Is that appropriate? Yes, there's no one ahead. Okay, thank you. Okay, members, that takes us to item number 6. And that is the Directorate Risk Register for AHC, and Andy's going to take that report. Thank you, Andy.
Can members hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you, yes.
So the report's on Port Noten, as in line with previous risk registers from directorates. This is a quarterly brought on each year from each directorate. So it's on Port Noten, Chair, but happy to take any questions. We've got two appendices. One is the summary of the risk register, and second appendix is the detailed risk register from the directorate.
Thank you, Andy. A question from Councillor Bousey.
Is the risk register there just for AHC, or is, I don't think I see it for other departments?
Yeah, sure, we table them in rotation, so it's AHC's directorate turn to have theirs on. So the previous audit committee was corporate services, I think, from memory, so we bring them, you know, in rotation.
Okay.
Just as a follow-up on that one, as a refresher, the corporate risk register, is that coming to September, Marie?
Coming to September for me, yeah. Just the time and the things with July and senior management meetings and review times, you know, so it'll come in September.
Thank you. Okay, members, that's great. If I could get a question from Councillor Truesdale.
Thanks very much. Could I just ask, on this, AHC 03 and AHC 04 seem to be the ones that stand out the most, the enforcement and statutory functions. Because this hasn't moved from January till May, are there any new interventions to tackle that particular risk area?
Through the chair, so sorry, looking at the risk number 3 and 4. Number 4, so we review our risk register on a quarterly basis. This was last reviewed and updated in May, and then is brought on in this reporting cycle. So risk number 4, for example, is with regards to reduction of funding and potential impact on service delivery. That's something that we've addressed recently through the last AHC committee. I think it was that there was an action taken to write to central government just to highlight the council is proceeding at risk with some funded programmes whilst discussions with regards to the executive budget is being progressed. So there is actions being taken place to mitigate against some of these risks, but it's not the risk register is updated on a quarterly basis based on the actions from the last 3 months previous.
So it was actually AHC 03 that seems to have the largest gaps, enforcement and statutory functions. Does that fall in under what you've just said as well?
That particular risk deals with number 3 is failure to enforce and apply the legislative requirements of statutory functions. That's predominantly to do with facilities. There's a lot of detail in there in terms of the making sure the compliance checks, for example, are done on our community centres and leisure facilities. And there has been quite a bit of work done with our colleagues in SME to look at put those compliance checks in place and making sure those risks are mitigated against. So, I'm confident that there's actions being carried out to mitigate those risks.
And finally, so this comes back in October, and those gaps should have closed on those 6 areas by is it October?
No, Councillor Frizzell, because it will come back I can't remember the sequence enough of them, but it's still Corporate Services AHC. It will be like either SNE or ERT will be next in September, you know. So it comes back there, yeah. And it's not necessarily about closing the gaps. I suppose what we're doing is we're looking at all of the potential risks, really bringing those to the fore and looking to manage those. And that's why you have the key controls identified within the actual risk register itself on each of the risks. And those are, and then their action plans are attached to those. So the action plans are what we're doing. So it will always be continually reviewed if there's further actions that can be taken or if there's actions that haven't been taken or need to be progressed.
Okay, that's super. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. We have a question from Councillor Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. It's on the same thing. It's on risk number four. Marie and Andy, Marie, you say is that obviously it's about identifying risks and taking them to the fore. I suppose here at the Audit Committee, if we are moving forward at risk on a number of funding streams, which is under that risk four, with the executive being capped at 95% come Friday, we would need to know where that affects council. Now, obviously, we've only EHC in front of us. I do think we should have the corporate risk register in front of us looking across all directorates. But I don't feel comfortable not knowing the level and the scope of programmes across the council that are at risk if we're capped at that 95% budget, which is 5% cut from last year. Obviously, if I can think of Violence Against Women and Girls programme, PCSP, stuff like that, that gets money from the executive. But we would need to have some sort of a trawl of where we're moving forward at risk and be notified that of the Audit Committee. And I think by the time comes the next Audit Committee in September, we could be so much further down the line that we're operating under a reduced budget. But if somebody asks me where and what mitigations are put in place, I don't know. So I do think we need to have an exercise in that, and it would have been helpful to have that here.
Yeah, so Chair, we're actually working on that as a management team in relation to the impacts of the budget, and it's something that actually the movement faced. I had highlighted it at party leaders as well, that it's a challenge for us. The intention is for each department to bring into their own sitting committees in the first instance those programmes that will be potentially affected. What we are finding is that programmes are actually getting letters of offer for partial funding. So we're collating those and we'll bring them into the relevant committee then to say, you know, this is where we're at. This is. So you remember like things like LEP, LMP as well, you know, but identifying we're operating at risk on most of those on an annual basis. But we will be compiling those and bringing them back, and then that will get channeled in through the Audit Committee in September, where I think we'll have a better feel, because we are working across local government. We have been working with central government, particularly on programmes that we are delivering very strongly on their behalf, to try and ensure that we have as much cover as possible to deliver and have raised that risk with, you know, I've raised that risk with the departments as well and permanent secretaries that it's a concern for council too. So you can be assured that we're very acutely aware of it and conscious. So it's been through the relevant sitting committees, because in theory, and I don't think that elected members would do it, we could choose not to run some of those programmes, but it's unlikely that we would. So we will flag them as
And I think, Chair, just to follow up on that. Yeah, and Marie, that's helpful and probably right that it does through the relevant committees and we can get sight of it and the effect it will have on council. But I think it's helpful, seeing when you look at the corporate risk register, I'm over years just looking at it and seeing the gross and residual score and what we're doing and actions, updating that to show actually the actions that we're taking, that we are looking across the directorates at 5% cut in the budget and we're doing work to bring back, then we can see relevant actions have been taken for that. Doesn't have to take all the information through the Audit Committee, but at least we know that there's a train in motion and that's happening and it'll be brought back in September. I think that'll be helpful if we're reading through the actions, because they're always, when I read through them, it's sort of the same stuff that's down there as the previous Audit Committee meeting, even though you've carried out this piece of work and each director has to report back. I think that's important for us now.
Yeah, so the challenge we face, like, you know, unfortunately, and it's a challenge for everybody at the minute, is we do keep hoping that a budget will be struck and that, you know, we won't have to report anything to you in August, but we will wait and see. I suppose this the next couple of days will tell us.
Thank you. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Thank you. I think also it's mentioned within the annual government statement as well, these financial difficulties the council is facing, including that particular one. So it's good to see that reflected there as well. Okay, we have a council or a question from Councillor Bowsey.
I was just wondering whether it'd be an idea to have the corporate risk register, especially for the ERT, at all our committee meetings, since they're so spread apart and the A lot of capital projects are obviously in the pipeline, the likes of the BCRD. I think we should be constantly monitoring that at every audit committee and every opportunity possible.
So, Chair, we do. We would normally have had the corporate risk register on this audit committee. The unfortunate timing of the July, and I spoke to the Chair about this just prior to this meeting. It's unusual for us to have a meeting in July for an audit committee or any committee. So leave and timing has meant that we haven't had an opportunity to review it. But your corporate risk register does be there at your audit committee generally, and it will be there in September.
Okay, thank you. Okay, members, I don't see any further questions coming through, so if we could have a proposer and seconder to note the report, that would be great. Thank you. Proposed by Councillor Bousey and seconded by Councillor Byrne. Okay, thank you. Moving then on to item number 7, prompt payment statistics. Marie is going to take this report. Thanks, Marie.
Yeah, I'm just conscious Catherine Hannah, who's our in finance, if Catherine wanted to take that report.
Yes, Marie, I have figures here. So for quarter one for 2027, that's April 26th to 30th of June 26th. So the supplier payments, within 30 days, we've paid 90% of the suppliers. And within 10 days of that, we're paying 58%. So outside of those 30 days, we're just paying 10% of the invoices, which is 478 out of 4,913. So it is a performance trend slightly down. So the average number of days has moved from 14.22 last quarter to 14.51. But we're still meeting the target.
Thank you, Catherine.
Thanks, Catherine. Apologies, I hadn't seen you there. Okay, members, that's the prompt payments report. I don't see any questions, so a proposer and seconder to note the report, please. Okay, we've proposed by Councillor O'Hare, seconded by Councillor Hannan. I'm just going to take them in the order that they come through. Okay, members, thank you for that. Item number 8. The Assurance Framework and Code of Governance for the Council. Marie is going to take that report.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. So, again, members, the annual governance statement is attached to Appendix 1 and sets out the detail of how the governance of the Council works, with which hopefully everybody on our audit committee should be very familiar. And it also just looks at the various different issues around risk and I suppose how we actually manage our various different committees, our different schemes, etc. So again, I'm taking the paper as read, and if anybody has any questions.
Okay, thank you, Marie. Members, any questions on the framework or the code of governance? No? Okay, if we could have a proposer and seconder to note the report, please. Proposed by Councillor Truesdale.
Chair, I'm not sure. Oh. Just checking with Sarah there. Councillor Truesdale, we think Councillor Howie is the Alliance nomination for audit.
Did she not send an apology in?
Yes, but that doesn't make
you... Oh, right, okay, yep.
Yeah, you can't.
I can't vote.
No. Yeah. No. Yeah. We were, grand. No, we were debating whether the membership had changed, but that's okay. No. Yeah.
Okay. I was wondering myself, but I just wasn't sure there. I thought there'd been a change through the last structure change or the last councillor change. Okay. So, what do we do in relation to that? Then, Sarah, can we proceed?
Councillor Hanlon, then we take Councillor Hanlon as a proposer and we just need a seconder then. And Councillor Murphy.
Councillor Murphy, yeah. We don't have to go back on anything, do we, Sarah?
No.
Okay. That's great. Thank you. Okay, members, that takes us to item number 9, which is an update on members' interests. And Sarah is going to take this one. Thank you, Sarah.
Yes, thank you, Chair. It's just the 6 monthly update report. As part of the audit recommendations, all members' forms are updated on a 6 monthly basis, and that's whether there's been amendments or not. And that has been completed as of the 23rd of July, and a further update then will be done in January 27.
Okay, thank you, Sarah. Okay, members, any questions? And if not, a proposer and seconder to note the report, please. Thank you. Proposed by Councillor Devon and seconded by Councillor Murphy. Okay, thank you. Now, members, items 10 to 17 will be taken in closed business. They are deemed to be restricted under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information and the public, may by resolution be excluded during these items of business. Could I get a proposer and seconder, please, to go into closed business? Proposed by Councillor O'Hare. Thank you. Just need a seconder, members, to go into the closed business. And Councillor King, thank you very much. Okay, Sarah, let me know when we're good to go. So, members, by the committee, the following was agreed. Item number 10, draft annual government statement and statement of accounts. On the proposal of Councillor Devlin, seconded by Councillor Murphy, the following was agreed. To approve the annual government statement 25-26 at Appendix 1. To note the draft statement of accounts and financial statements at Appendix 1. Item 11, direct award contracts report. On the proposal of Councillor Burns, seconded by Councillor Murphy, it was agreed to note the following. The 26-27 quarter 1 update in relation to the direct award contracts. The direct award activity 26-27 year in review quarter 1 details. And the active direct award contract as of the 31st of June 26. Item 12, procurement action plans. On the proposal of Councillor Bousey, seconded by Councillor Devlin, it was agreed to note the directorate procurement action plans. Item number 13, update on fraud and raising concerns. On the proposal of Councillor Murphy, seconded by Councillor Byrne, it was agreed to note the following. The update in relation to fraud and raising concerns cases as detailed in Appendix 1. The purposes. The progress on actions arising from the NIAO, internal fraud, risk self-assessment. Item number 14, cybersecurity and digital risks presentation. On the proposal of Councillor Bousey, seconded by Councillor Murphy, it was agreed to note the presentation. Item 15, an assessment of climate change. On the proposal of Councillor Burns, seconded by Councillor Devlin, it was agreed to note the contents of the report in relation to the assessment of climate change within the council. Item 16, update and concern raised to NIAO and Audit Committee Chair. On the proposal of Councillor O'Hare, seconded by Councillor King, it was agreed to note the letter of the 18th of June 26 relating to the novation of Kilbrony Park Cafe to the party named in the report was taken by Council following legal advice and scrutiny to ensure monies owing to Council were recovered. Services committed and sufficient protection was in place to terminate any agreement following non-payment and or non-performance. Item number 17. I'm just checking with Marie that accurately reflects the situation. You're content with the wording.
Which item?
That's the update on that letter that came in. It's quite a detailed. Or maybe a lien. Yes, okay.
I have no issue with that.
Okay, thank you. Very important we get the wording right. Item 17, Summer NI Summary Report. On the proposal of Councillor O'Hare, seconded by Councillor Murphy, it was agreed to note the Summer NI Summary Report, including the internal audit plan. Okay, members, I believe that brings us to the end of the meeting. And I want to say a big thank you to everyone for participating in today and bearing with me, because it's been an unusual one. And hopefully we'll be back to normal operations very soon. Okay, members, thank you very much and enjoy the rest of the day. See you in September.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mona.
Thank you.